At Audi Columbus, luxury meets convenience. Browse our selection online and complete your purchase from home. Then simply stop by to pick up your keys. The next generation shops online. Experience the future with us at AudiColumbus.com. Buyers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Whistler Podcast with your host, Mel. I am Mel, and I'll be here to keep you company and walk you through another one of these amazing episodes and share my insight and give you some facts about what was going on during that time that the original episode aired. And tonight's episode, I'm going to do something a little bit differently. I created a video dramatization to go along with the audio for the Whistler, and this is the second time I've done this, but the only difference is that I'm going to be narrating it in the beginning and then giving a conclusion at the end. If you like that style, let me know and I'll make more. It's kind of fun to make. It's kind of an outlet for my little bit of creativity that I have. So today's episode is brought to you by Molly B's Gourmet Cookies. Unforgettable, artisan crafted, and big enough to satisfy any sweet tooth. They're amazing. And because you're my listener, you get 10% off all the items in the store. And all you need to do is type in the coupon code Wilbur Hatch, all one word together, Wilbur Hatch, at the checkout. So let's get started on another episode of The Whistler. And today's episode is called Death in 16 Millimeter, which originally aired July 17th, 1949. And today's story, everyone has secrets. Everyone has a motive. And by the end, the strings of blackmail and betrayal are tangled so tightly, even the puppeteer gets caught. So let me introduce to you some of the key players in this twisted little game. So first we have Paul Benton. He's an attorney in his late 40s. On paper, he was a trusted legal advisor for Cynthia Winters, handling her uncle's estate. In reality, he's been playing a twisted game of betrayal and lies. And he's been carrying on an affair with Cynthia for about 2 years, but it's not for love. He planned it all to get his hands on her money, to manipulate her emotions, and even to engineer a lot of drama so that she would draw closer to him even more. Now, Paul's married to Edith, and part of his aim is to completely get rid of her, one way or the other. And then we have Cynthia Winters. She's young, vulnerable, beautiful, and she's completely and utterly enamored with Paul. She's probably in her late 20s, and she's convinced Paul is her closest confidant. She inherited everything from her uncle, which makes her a golden target. Now she's very wealthy. She wants Paul so badly that she's willing to give anything, literally, to keep him. She doesn't realize, at least not fully, that she's dancing to his tune as Paul's puppet. And then we have Edith Benton, that's Paul's wife. We don't really see much of her, but she appears to be a warm and trusting person. She knows Cynthia and she likes her. Edith doesn't suspect, or at least doesn't fully suspect, the web her husband has been weaving. She is unfortunately a threat in Paul's twisted vision. And then we have Fred, good old Fred. He's like a sketchy movie producer buddy of Paul's. It's hinted that he has a type of criminal background, and he does seem to prove useful to Paul when the plot turns more dangerous. I don't want to say any more. I don't want to give it away. So now that you've met the characters, you know a little bit about their secrets. Let's bring this story to life with my dramatization of this episode, The Whistler, and its death in 16 millimeter. Originally aired July 17th, 1949. Here we go.
The Whistler.
And I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
And now the Whistler's strange story. Death in 16 millimeter.
The buzz of conversation in the little seaside cafe was low enough to permit the nearby sound of the surf to be heard. Paul Benton looked past the girl sitting across from him, watched the water for a moment, quietly and thoughtfully, remembering the first time he'd told her that he loved her.
It was 2 years ago, Cynthia.
2 years, Paul?
Mm-hmm, the first time we came here. After your uncle died and I began to manage the estate.
Oh, yes. You did so much more, Paul. I don't know what I would have done.
I have tried, Cynthia.
It can't just end. After these weeks of not seeing you, I know I couldn't stand it.
It must end. You know that, too. Why, if Edith ever found out that, well, that things have gone beyond a mere attorney and client relationship,
she hasn't found out, Paul. She doesn't have to, ever.
I'm sorry, dear, but I think too much of you to just go on and on this way.
You really mean that, Paul?
Can you question it?
No. No, oh, Paul, I can't give you up.
But, darling, there's just nothing else to do. Nothing else for either of us. That is, as long as Edith is my wife.
Oh, Paul, darling, there must be a way out. We've got to find that way.
There must be a way out. Yes, Paul. You have her thinking in the right direction, haven't you? The way the tears mounted quickly to her eyes. Then that odd little look of determination, of hate almost. The plan you've figured out is beginning to work, isn't it, Paul? It's like those waves outside the Cove Cafe, almost ready to break out into the open, smash against the rocks, wash everything clear. Your unhappy marriage, your confused, disinterested relationship with Cynthia. A relationship that would have remained strictly attorney and client if it hadn't been for Cynthia's money. Wouldn't it, Paul? Yes. But money is all important to you. And some of Cynthia's is almost within your grasp as you carefully urge things further along. Increase the tide of Cynthia's emotion. Urge her to the brink of murder.
I've thought and thought about this, Cynthia. You know how much I want you. Last night I begged Edith for a divorce.
Paul, you risked letting her know about us?
Oh, I didn't mention you. I just said I was in love with someone else.
Oh, darling.
Oh, I'd have risked anything if I thought it would do any good. But it won't. She refused me. She'll always refuse me as long as she lives.
I wish I dared talk to her.
No, Cynthia. Don't ever let her know it's you, Cynthia. Because talking to her won't do any good, I'm certain of it.
Edith and I have become fairly good friends, Paul. If I could get her out someplace where just the two of us...
It's useless, I tell you. There's no way, Cynthia. No way in this world.
I'm not so sure, Paul. I'm not so sure.
Cynthia, what do you mean?
Nothing. Nothing, Paul. It's late. You'd better take me home.
It's going well, isn't it, Paul? Smoothly. And you know exactly what's in Cynthia's mind. You're certain of it the way she kisses you goodnight. No, Paul, she hasn't any intention of giving you up. If you had any doubts, they're dispelled the following day when you overhear a telephone conversation from the extension in your den. A very interesting conversation between Cynthia And your wife, Edith.
No, Edith. Darling, it's Cynthia.
Cynthia, I haven't heard from you in weeks. I've been wondering if anything was wrong.
Oh, I've just been busy, that's all. I wonder, dear, could you go sailing with me tomorrow, out off the point?
Oh, I'd like to, Cynthia, but, well, you know I'm not a good sailor. Being such a poor swimmer,
darling, you'll be with me, an expert skipper.
Oh, could we do something else? Maybe go for a drive?
Edith, we must talk someplace where we won't be interrupted.
What?
I wasn't going to say this until I saw you, but it's important.
Why don't you
please
come now?
Please don't question me over the phone. Meet me at the boat tomorrow at 10.
All right.
And Edith?
Yes?
I wouldn't say anything about this evening. Don't let anyone see you.
I won't, Cynthia. I'll be there tomorrow. It's 10 o'clock.
I'll be waiting, darling. I'll be glad to get this off my mind. Bye.
Well, Paul, so Cynthia is planning a sailing trip with Edith. A secret one, with a promise of telling her something about you. You're certain that it can have all but one meaning, and it can't happen soon enough to fit in with your own plan for some of Cynthia's wealth. At least $100,000, Paul. Perhaps even more later on. But there's still one more move, isn't there? That evening takes you downtown to an out-of-the-way studio apartment, which serves as a base of operations for a client and friend of yours, a commercial motion picture producer, Fred Mason.
I'm afraid I don't get this, Benton. I don't get it at all.
What's the matter, Fred? You've never questioned any other deal that's been offered you. This isn't nearly as unusual as most.
Sure, I take pictures of lots of things. But this doesn't sound so good.
$10,000 sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah, but sometimes it depends on how you earn it.
You could afford to move away from all that racket.
Oh, it doesn't bother me. Just the milk train. Let the guy know what time it is.
Quit stalling, Fred. Business hasn't been good and you know it. All you have to do is take a half a reel or so of movies for a client of mine.
Yeah, movies of what? Not commercial, I'll bet.
Not exactly. You see, my client believes the wife of a friend of his is going to meet with an unfortunate accident.
Wait a minute. If this is murder, I don't want any part of it.
Who said anything about murder? Besides, you wouldn't be involved. I just want your pictures for proof in case it should happen.
Why doesn't your client's friend save himself a lot of trouble and just get himself a divorce?
He thought of that. His wife won't give him one. Now, it seems that he has a girlfriend who's the jealous type, and she's taking the wife sailing tomorrow.
Where?
Off Fisherman's Point. You know the spot. Tomorrow morning, sometime after 10. My friend has a feeling something will go wrong. So I want you around in another boat with a movie camera to get pictures of the whole thing.
What for?
Well, like I said, for proof.
Sounds more like blackmail. Look, suppose I did go along and nothing happened.
There's still $1,000 in it for you.
But if there is an accident, your client will pay me $10,000 for the pictures.
And for keeping your mouth shut.
Why don't you do it yourself? I've seen some pretty good stuff you've shot.
I want a professional job. It's safer. Then there's the developing of the film.
Look, I'll do a lot for dough, but like I said, you can handle it. I don't figure getting mixed up in any murder.
You're forgetting something, aren't you, Fred?
What?
That little hit-and-run accident you were involved in last week? The one you came to see me about?
You told me to keep quiet unless something came up.
Yes, yes. At the time, silence seemed like the best defense. But since the victim died, I'm not sure it isn't my duty to report it to the authorities.
You can still count me out, Paul. There's not enough money in the world to mix me up in a deal like that. But I'll forget you were here tonight, if that'll help any.
All right, friend. That's the way you feel about it? Just forget it. Forget the whole thing.
Well, Paul. Fred Mason wasn't as easy as you thought he'd be. You're surprised and disappointed that he wouldn't go through with the deal. For it leaves just one answer, doesn't it? You'll have to use your own movie camera, develop your own film. Do the whole job yourself.
In a rented fishing boat, you follow Edith and Cynthia's course. A mile down from the point, there's a vast formation of rocks, and Cynthia skillfully sails amidst them to gain protection from anyone watching from shore. Approaching the area behind them, you cut the motor, allow the current to carry you along quietly until you drift into a commanding but protected position. A telescopic lens does the rest as the whole scene appears in the camera finder. Cynthia pointing suddenly to divert Edith's attention, then quickly shifting the sail. Edith is hit squarely and topples overboard. Cynthia dives in as if to help, but actually she merely watches Edith's feeble struggles until she goes under. Then it's all over, with Cynthia sailing off, alone. Minutes later, piloting in and out between the rocks, you navigate to the spot. React excitedly as you see Edith struggling back to the surface, the tide helping her toward the rocks. She might make it and hold on, but you take care of that. You swing the boat around. You catch her with a bow. Yes. Yes, it's really complete now, isn't it, Paul? All over. For good. It isn't easy in the week that follows. The recovery of the body. Your seeming grief, the funeral. A couple of weeks later, you decide it's time. Phone Cynthia and drop by her apartment.
Another cocktail, Paul?
No, thanks, Cynthia. Just a cigarette.
Light?
Thanks.
Why did you ask me to set up my movie projector, Paul?
I have some pictures, some last shots of Edith.
Oh.
I developed them myself. Quite a process.
Poor Edith.
The stuff came out a little rough, but clear enough to make me glad I have them.
I understand, dear. Paul, you do need a drink. I'll get more ice.
Okay. Maid's off tonight, isn't she?
What?
Taking advantage of Cynthia's absence, you open a desk drawer, take out Cynthia's .22 revolver and slip it into your pocket. Cynthia bought it a year ago after a series of robberies of wealthy women. She has never touched it since. You're sure she's even forgotten it. But you feel safer knowing it's no longer in her possession. You're sitting down again as she comes back into the room.
There. Just help yourself if you want anything.
Okay, thanks, Cynthia.
Paul, you've been wonderful about everything. I know what a shock Edith's death was to you.
Get your shopping done right this holiday season with Big Air Columbus. Right now, you can get $100 off Elite Player Passes at Big Air, which is unlimited play all day, any day. Or buy one $25 gift card, get a free pair of holiday grip socks, plus a 1.5 hour pass to use after the new year. Big Air is the perfect gift for the kids in your family. So get your holiday shopping done right with Big Air Columbus. Stop by today inside Fieldhouse USA at the Polaris Mall or online at BigAirUSA.com.
Well, to me, too. I can't help but feel I'm to blame.
Drop the act, Cynthia. Edith's death wasn't an accident.
Wasn't an accident? I don't know what you mean.
Oh, yes, you do, Cynthia. And I have the evidence to prove it.
Paul, you're not inferring that...
As I said, I have the evidence. I'll switch off the light and you'll see what I mean.
It's a movie of Edith and me.
Sure. You're the star.
But how did you...
This scene coming up is my favorite. It's the one where you deliberately push Edith overboard. What's the matter, Cynthia? Don't you like it?
Shut it up!
Okay.
Paul, you won't believe it. I plan to tell you about everything later. You said you'd marry me if anything ever happened to Edith.
I know, and it turned out exactly as I thought it would when I said it. Something did happen to Edith.
Yes, darling. And in a little while, we can get married. That's what we wanted.
Well, not exactly. I never figured on marrying you, Cynthia. Not at all. You see, I'm in love with someone else.
Hogg. You can't... Hogg. You planned it. From the beginning. All the things you said about loving me... It was a big joke with you, wasn't it? You never cared about me at all.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far. I like you a lot. So much that if you were to give me, say, $100,000, I wouldn't even tell the police about what happened. I'd even give you the pictures, too, the negative.
$100,000?
I've already picked out the stocks you can sell to raise the cash amount.
But
you can sell the first thing in the morning. Then you'll have plenty of time to get the cash for me before the banks close. Let's say tomorrow evening, shall we, Cynthia?
Back at your apartment, you congratulate yourself. The money is as good as yours, isn't it, Paul? You pour yourself a drink, settle back in your favorite chair, and think of all you can do with $100,000. And then...
Hello, Paul.
Well, Fred Mason.
How about asking me in?
Oh, sure, sure, come in. Sit down, I'll mix you a drink.
Oh, no, don't bother. This isn't a social visit. I got to thinking over the little deal you offered me. Decided it was an easy way to pick up $10,000 after all.
You're a little late, Freddy. I didn't want to disappoint my client, so I took the pictures myself.
Maybe you like mine better.
Huh?
I was fishing further down, you see.
You took pictures, too?
Mm-hmm. Of you, Paul. Finishing Edith off. With your boat.
How much do you want?
$10,000.
When?
Tomorrow, 7 o'clock.
And if I can't raise the $10,000?
Oh, I know another party who'd come across right away. A lady named Cynthia Winter.
Okay, Fred. I'll have it for you tomorrow.
Good. Bring it to my apartment. Around 5 o'clock.
I'll be there. Okay, here's your money, Fred, and let's have the picture.
Sure, as soon as I count this. Looks pretty. Well, okay, your film's on the desk. Projector's in the other room if you want to run it, make sure it's all there.
Yeah, I'll check on that later. Right now, there's a little favor I'd like to ask you to do for me.
What kind of favor?
I want you to write a letter to Cynthia saying you won't give her the print or the negative of the film she wants unless she pays you $100,000. That if you don't get the dough by tomorrow, you'll take the pictures to the DA.
What are you trying to pull? I'm not that crazy.
You won't write it?
Not on your life.
Maybe this will help you change your mind.
But, now, wait a minute. Put down that gun.
Fred, I won't put it down until you write the letter. Now walk over to that typewriter and sit down. Very good. Now, one other thing, Fred. This print you gave me of the film, it isn't enough. I'll have to have the negative.
That'll cost you more.
I figured you'd pull something like that, Fred. That's why I made you write the letter before I brought the matter up. And that's why I brought along this gun.
You won't shoot as long as you don't have the negative.
You're wrong. I will.
You'd never get away with it. Somebody would hear you.
You've forgotten about the milk train, Fred. The one that tells you what time it is. I timed it over very carefully. It will cover the sound of a shot easily.
No.
And this is Cynthia's gun. They'll pin this on her. Maybe figuring you were blackmailing her.
You've got it all figured, haven't you?
Uh-huh.
There's still the negative.
Oh, I know it's here in your apartment someplace. You'd better play it smart, Fred, and give it to me. Then I won't have to shoot.
You're bluffing.
Uh-uh. There's not much time left. How about it? Okay, Fred, if that's the way you want it.
No, wait, don't. I'll give it to you. The negative's there in the middle desk drawer.
Yeah, you're all right. Well, thanks, Fred. That's all I wanted to know.
Wait, you said you wouldn't do it. You said...
Sorry, Fred, I say a lot of things.
You make sure you have the negative and all the prints of Fred's film. Then you walk to the fireplace, touch a match to the edge of the blackmail note which Fred typed, and snuff it out quickly so that the police will think Cynthia attempted to burn it. You're having to alter your plans as far as Cynthia's money is concerned, aren't you, Paul? You'll have to be satisfied with $100,000 because Cynthia's arrest for the murder of Fred Mason will close the source of any future supply. You decide to get the money as soon as possible. You're sure Fred's body won't be discovered for several hours. So you look quickly around the studio, wipe the fingerprints from everything you've touched, shut the door, and hurry outside. You hurl Cynthia's gun into a small flower bed as though Cynthia had hidden it, but where you're sure the police will find it. Then you hurry home, destroy Fred Mason's films, and phone Cynthia.
Hello, Cynthia.
Oh, Paul.
How are things? Ready to complete our little deal?
Yes, Paul, I'm ready.
You've got everything for me?
Everything, Paul.
Good. I'll be there in just a few minutes.
I'll be here,
Paul, at last your plan is going to pay off. As you sit across the room from Cynthia in her Malibu beach house, you're sure everything is going to be all right. Yes, because you're completely in the clear, and then...
I have a disappointment for you, Paul. I'm not giving you the money.
No, wait a minute, Cynthia. The police will be very interested in that film.
They'll be more interested in the last half. The part where you kill Edith with your boat.
What?
You see, Paul, a man named Fred Mason came to see me a few days ago. His price was a lot cheaper than yours, and his merchandise much better.
Double cross.
Clever picture man, isn't it? Why don't you see how clever, Paul? I have the projector set up for you.
Another print. He made another print.
I wouldn't be surprised if he made several prints. And the part where you become the star is ready to go. Go on. Run it off, Paul.
What are you going to do, Cynthia?
I haven't quite decided.
You're in the first half of this film. If you showed it to the police, you'd only implicate yourself.
Uh-huh. But the picture also proves I didn't really kill Edith. I might be able to talk myself out of my part in it. You couldn't.
Look, Cynthia, I... Who's that?
How would I know? Whoever it is, you're the impatient type.
Cynthia Winters?
Yes?
Lieutenant Blake, homicide.
Oh?
After what you did this afternoon, I somehow didn't expect to find you home.
What do you mean?
You're under arrest, Miss Winters, for murder.
Oh, but there must be some mistake.
No mistake. We know you did it.
What's going on, Cynthia? Who's this man?
Who are you?
I'm Paul Benton, Miss Winters' attorney.
You better be a good one. She's going to need it. I'm Lieutenant Blake, homicide.
Well, what's wrong?
My boys and I stopped by Fred Mason's apartment a few minutes ago. We got a tip he was mixed up in a hit-and-run accident last week. We found him very dead.
But, officer, why would I have anything...
You got a little careless when you left his apartment. The blackmail letter you left didn't burn up.
But I didn't kill Fred Mason.
He found a gun outside, too, hidden in a flower bed. 22, the kind ladies like to use. You ever see this gun before?
Yes. But I didn't
have... Easy, Cynthia. We'll straighten this out.
Oh, you did it. And fixed it so I'd get the blame.
Cynthia, you're hysterical.
Afraid you can't put the blame on anyone else, Miss Winters. The evidence against you is too strong. Yeah. Well, now here's a coincidence. A movie projector, all set up. That blackmail letter we found mentioned some film. We couldn't find a trace of it in Mason's apartment. Now, this wouldn't be it in the projector, would it?
No, Lieutenant, it's just...
Snap off the lights and run it.
Yes, sir.
But it isn't anything, I tell you.
Keep it going. Well, you've been fishing, eh, Mr. Benton? Looks like you're going to have a chance to make a rescue. You're a pretty good skipper. You can turn a boat on a dock. Turn on the lights. Well, that's the first time I've ever seen anyone murdered by a boat. I don't think you'll do her much good defending her for that Mason killing, Mr. Benton. You're going to need an attorney yourself for the murder of your wife.
the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
What a bunch of vicious people. Everyone was blackmailing everyone. That's a crazy episode. So, what did you guys think of that episode? I think they were just, they all deserved everything that happened to them. Except maybe Fred. Fred didn't really, he did kill someone. I think it was mentioned earlier that he had did a hit and run and the person died. So yeah, they all got what was coming to them. So let's go over what was going on the original air date of July 17th, 1949. That was on a Sunday. And that day, the Hunan province in China experienced catastrophic flooding, one of the worst in decades. The toll was immense. 57,000 lives lost, 5 million people displaced, and millions of acres of cropland devastated. It does seem that China has really had a history of so many of these types of catastrophic events. Earthquakes, floods, it's just unreal. Globally, post-World War II tensions, reconstruction, and realignments were going on. In American film, the top box office film of 1949 was Jolson Sings Again. Other big hits included Battleground, I Was a Male War Bride, Sands of Iwo Jima, The Stratton Story, Pinky, and Mr. Belvedere Goes to College. That's actually a really good movie. I did see that one. Also, the year 1949 in film was notable for shifting tastes. Film noir, social dramas, war films, and many titles wrestling with post-war anxieties. So while Death in 16mm aired on that fateful Sunday, the world was grappling with real tragedy, like the floods in China and in the U.S. Audiences were packing theaters to see the latest flicks. Imagine sitting by the radio listening to this episode. I'm kind of curious, though, about whether or not parents allowed their children to listen to The Whistler and other similar shows as they dealt with adult topics like adultery, manipulation, murder, and even some of the other shows that dealt with supernatural. How did the parents handle that? Did they tell the kids they had to go in another room, or did they just all listen together as a family? If any of you guys are old enough to remember that, I would love to hear stories about that to see how that was handled. And my sponsor, as you know, is Molly B's Cookies. And what pairs perfectly with a late night mystery? Well, a cookie, of course. Not only just a cookie, but these amazing Molly B's Cookies. They're giant, gooey, downright dangerous in the best way. They come loaded with all kinds of wild flavors and cookies with candy bar chunks, brownies baked right in, cereal mashups. If you're listening right now and your sweet tooth is just whispering louder than the Whistler himself, do yourself a favor and check out Molly B's Cookies. They're amazing. They ship nationwide. And they're ridiculously good. Trust me, one bite and you're going to be hooked. Just enter in the code WilburHatch in the checkout and receive 10% off your entire order. So that wraps up Death in 16mm, a tale of ambition, deception, manipulation, and, as usual in the Whistler, murder. All played out in orchestrated schemes over the radio waves. A big thanks to the unsung talents like Virginia Gregg. She was the voice of Cynthia Winters. And you may have recognized her voice. She's in a lot of these. And I did cover her in a prior episode. She's had such a versatile voice. And she was the voice of Cynthia Winters. I hope you enjoyed peeling back the layers with me tonight. I love making these podcasts, and I love just being a part of something that really was an important part of history. It was old time radio. Thanks again, and join me next time on the Whistler podcast with your host, Mel. And I will see you soon.
Get your shopping done right this holiday season with Big Air Columbus. Right now, you can get $100 off Elite Player Passes at Big Air, which is unlimited play all day, any day. Or buy one $25 gift card, get a free pair of holiday grip socks, plus a 1.5 hour pass to use after the new year. Big Air is the perfect gift for the kids in your family. So get your holiday shopping done right with Big Air Columbus. Stop by today inside Fieldhouse USA at the Polaris Mall or online at BigAirUSA.com.
Fall calls for comfort. Mack Weldon's got essentials designed for cool days and timeless style. Their new Ace line combines comfort with sophisticated looks. Go to MackWeldon.com for 20% off your first order of $125 or more with code MACK25.